With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Today's podcast is presented by Podgo. Podgo is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast, providing podcasters with a flat rate for ad space so you always know how much you get when you include an ad from Podgo. I recently joined as a member and you can too. Apply today to become a member and immediately be connected with advertisers that fit your audience. That's podgo.co at podgo.co. And remember to include the name The Scoreless Thriller Podcast in your application. Thank you.
Man there trying to stop Joe from getting himself into further trouble.
It's a fucking disgrace.
Oh, it's not a bad ball for Pelle on the right side. It's Carlos Alberto. And what a great goal that was. Carlos Alberto.
Maradona just walked away from Huddle then. Maradona.
Met het balbezit voor Frank de Boer. Frank de Boer speelt de bal heel goed naar Dennis Bergkamp. Dennis Bergkamp! Dennis Bergkamp neemt de bal aan! Dennis Bergkamp!
Dennis Bergkamp! Dennis Bergkamp! Dennis Bergkamp! Dennis Bergkamp!
Oh! Frank de Boer speelt de bal naar Dennis Bergkamp! Die neemt de bal feilloos aan! En hij schiet de bal erin!
Hello and welcome back to the Scoreless Thriller Podcast. I'm joined as always by Leon. Leon, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
And joining us again to provide a critical Danish lens over our review of the Danish football league system is Yannick, our resident football Danish correspondent.
Thank you very much.
We wanted to go sort of do a deep dive on Danish football and Danish and find a club, because me and Leon have lived in Denmark for over 3 years now and we haven't found a club that's for our own, right? We've been to a few FC Köln games, right?
Yeah.
To the derby.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've been to the derby with you, yeah. But no, we're desperately looking for a club to support. And I mean, there's so many different variables that you have to think about, right, when you make this choice, I feel. Because, like, with the first team you support, you just go into it. You don't think about it. That just what happens. But then if you want to add on, like, more clubs later on, maybe it's a little bit of more of a conscious decision. And that's what we've got Yannick here for today, I think.
Yeah, so Yannick is going to be running the rule over all the teams in the sort of in the Superliga, the top division, and then also the first division.
That's my first question. Like, why is it called first division, but it's actually like the second division? It doesn't make sense to me. It is so weird. Like, why would you do this?
But it's the same in England, if you think about it, right? The championship. And then
it's the same in many countries. Right, I mean, it's the same in because Norway, Sweden. Yeah.
No, but like in Germany, it makes perfect sense. You've got like Erste Bundesliga, and then you have Zweite Bundesliga.
I'm not going to defend it, because I don't see why we don't just say the first division should be the first division.
Yeah.
I agree completely, but compared to most other people, When it comes to football, I'm ultra conservative. I still want the referees to be in black. Okay. I want the goalkeepers to have green shirts.
Do you want the back pass rule to be...
No, that one's actually quite good.
How do you feel about substitutes? Should we... No substitutes?
No, that's fair enough. Substitution is fair enough.
He's not a dinosaur.
I do think, though, that I do like the old idea that they used to have in the FA Cup, that if a game ends a draw, then you just meet another day and play a new game. Even if that's a draw, you play a third game.
Yeah, just keep going.
I can see it's not really...
Yeah, you used to end up with practical. Some like absolutely ridiculous stuff, I think, in like the 70s and 80s, where they would play each other seven times over the course of a month.
Yeah, I think it's a bit further back in history, but yeah, there were some...
But it sounds fantastic. I mean, imagine you've got a derby just takes like 5 days.
Yeah, I'm all for it, but I can see how it's impractical.
But anyway, going back to our main topic for today. So I think the best place for us to start with this breakdown of who our Danish club is going to be is start asking with you, Yannick, is who is your Danish football team that you support, and can you tell us a bit more about them?
It's a HBK. And
HBK.
Pretty much. And it's actually a merger club of Køge Boldklub and Herfølge Boldklub. And they both used to be... Køge is about 40 kilometers south of Copenhagen. And Herfølge is just a bit further south than that. So Herfølge is a village. Well, it's a bit bigger than the village now, maybe. I think there's about 8,000 people living there. And I think Køge, is it 40-something thousand? Something like that. Herfølge, for some reason, there used to be this factory that made juices in Herfølge. And the guy who owned that was really into football. And when professional football was introduced to...
Was the team's nickname the Juicers?
No.
The Juicemen?
No.
Apple juice?
No. No juice.
I can't come up with another name. I'm so...
The Squeezies, because you squeeze the... Like,
the Squeezies is good, yeah.
Yeah, but no. So in 78 when they introduced paid football, I say professional, so I think back then it was still semi-pro, but still, Herfølge was one of the teams that joined pretty early on, and that's one of the reasons why we had this village team in the higher leagues for so many years.
I'm still imagining like a team mascot as a bottle of juice.
No, they had a hoopoe.
A what?
It's a bird.
What you just said.
A hippo.
Do you mean a hippo?
No, not a hippo.
A hoopoe.
And it's
the famous hoopoes.
It's called Herfugl in Danish.
Okay.
And Herfugl sounds a bit like Herfølge. I guess that's why. And the Herfølge supporters used to be nicknamed Herfuglene, the hoopoes.
Mm. Huh. What kind of bird is it?
It's a hoopoe.
Yeah, I know. But describe it.
Just imagine flying hippos.
It's kind of, I think it's in a group of its own, but it's basically, what is it, maybe the same size as a blackbird or something like that. But then it's got a longer bent bill.
Okay.
And it's got like a mohawk.
Mm.
And it's sort of yellowish with black.
I can feel, can literally hear listeners turning off the podcast as we go into the details.
Excuse me, it was my question, and I quite enjoyed Yannick's very descriptive.
Yeah, they're taking notes and thinking, oh yeah, the hoopoe.
What a lovely bird, you know?
Fantastic bird.
Yeah. Okay. So,
that's your club. And what's like the average attendance? Have they always been a sort of second division?
No, that's the thing. Back when there were the two clubs, they were usually at the second tier or the first tier, but not at the same time. So they would switch being
a yo-yo club. Team.
Yeah. So I think
but like two yo-yo clubs, right?
Two yo-yo clubs, exactly.
But not synchronized.
No,
yeah,
exactly. I think it was actually, was in 1980 that Køge won the Danish championship, I think so. Huh. Something like that. But then sort of mid-90s, it was Herfølge was the bigger team, and they were in the top leagues for a number of years. And in 2000, they won the championship, the Danish championship, with legend John Faxe Jensen, former Arsenal, as a player manager at the time. And for instance,
banging in the goals.
Yeah, he scored one goal. I think was it against Rangers? I think they played Rangers in the UEFA Cup, having also played AEK Athens and AIK Stockholm, beat the crap out of them. So good days, good days,
good days. Absolutely. How do you?
Then they merged. You know, because the local idea was that these two teams, it was like an 8-minute drive between the two grounds.
Okay.
So the idea was that we merged together.
But then
we get
when
this
was this
team.
Again?
In the 90s.
The merger was would have been early 2000s.
Yeah, because this one club won.
Yeah, that was
won the league in 2000.
And the following year they got relegated, which I think is still unrivaled in Europe, I think, by the defending champions being relegated. I don't think that's been done before. But they basically lost all their good players, basically, right?
Okay.
And from what I've heard from you before, you're not a big fan of the merger.
I would have preferred the merger not to happen. But now that they've merged, I mean, what are my options? I have to choose another team? Nah, not really. So and for until last season, they actually still played at the ground in Herfølge, but now they play in Køge, where they built a new stadium, which is also like a stone in the shoe. Saying Danish, that's probably but pain in the ass. They have artificial pitch.
What is with the Danish teams and artificial pitches?
It's really annoying. It's an abomination.
Yeah. How did the merger work with the fans? Because I can't imagine, they're two different fan cultures, right? Different songs.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, none of them had a lot of fans.
It was quite easy.
I think even the season where the Danish Championship, I think attendances weren't struggling to be more than 3,000 unless we played one of the big teams that brought a lot of supporters themselves.
That's a decentish.
Yeah, but that's like the champions. I think most games we were like 1,500.
Okay.
There. I don't know, but there was also a certain overlap, you know, between the two clubs.
Okay.
But yeah, but I sort of missed that, the local rivalry. It was kind of fun, and so it wasn't. But now that they're there, you know, we support them because at least they're not Roskilde.
Okay, so I think talking about this about the Danish league, we should probably start by talking about like FC Köln, because since the Superliga was begun in 1993, I think so. Yeah, they've won it. I don't know, like a lot, like almost every year. Well, not obviously, but like they've won it the most times.
Yeah, too much.
Yeah, and you, from what I spoke to you before, quite strong animosity towards them, which I think it goes beyond what you would kind of like. It's normal in a small country, people will not like the teams from the capital, right? Usually, like the bigger clubs, because they'll see them, you know, from other areas, though they won't like them. But the animosity towards FC Köln kind of is stronger. And do you want to kind of explain a bit about the background of FC Köln and why you? And I also want to know is the kind of general animosity and kind of dislike for them that I've heard that you've spoken about before, is that almost universal, or are other people a little bit more mellow towards them?
One of the main reasons why I dislike them from the beginning was that it's a merger. The Hobikuri one. Herfølge and Kuri still remain as clubs on a sort of amateur level, but so it's the elite thing that's like it's a common common first teams, right, and common sort of elite club. And it's the same with FC Copenhagen, so it's KB, one of actually Denmark's oldest football club, which is still a pretty big club, and B1903
B1903 Come on, Leon, quicker with the Danish.
So two of the sort of big traditional Copenhagen clubs that spent decades fighting for to be the big club in Copenhagen, right? But they merged. This elite section was merged, and the time it was merged was that also the people in that sort of promoted that were, it was very much the sort of a businessman sort of thing. So it was the business part that really drove a lot of it. And because I'm so old and conservative and football romantic, I didn't like that part of it. So it's just ironic that then the team that I play now actually merged for more or less similar reasons. Yeah. Although the it was with the less realistic aim in their eyes than it was in Copenhagen, because obviously they do have a lot of people who want to support them financially, especially because they know it, they get great exposure.
And we're,
but there's
we're,
also some thing about the type of fans that would support FC Copenhagen and the type of fans that would support some of the other teams. You will have really decent people support FC Copenhagen, no doubt about that. I know a couple of them. But you also get some of these people who are like the, what in Swansea City in the old days, I remember people referred to them as the prawn sandwich brigade. So basically people who are hang around the sponsor lounges and people who are who support them because it's the flavor of the month and things like that.
So it doesn't feel like a kind of authentic fan culture.
Too many of them are not like that. Obviously some of them are, and now that the club has been existed for so long, there's a lot of kids who grew up supporting them, so you'll have 20-year-old people who don't remember anything.
Yeah.
Any time before FC Copenhagen.
I presume
have
if,
a very
if you,
different...
Yeah, I presume if you grow up in Copenhagen, like, you kind of will gravitate towards FC Co, right? Because they are there. It's
yeah,
the biggest
yeah.
club and they...
Yeah, I'm really struggling to with my my 11-year-old nephew, trying to get him off of of FC Copenhagen. But he also supports Hobie Curie, so that's fine.
And
that's
what
like his second team.
Yeah, and what would be... If you were to kind of put the shoes of somebody who was a supporter of one of these clubs and then after the merger is an FC Co, and like what would their sort of response be to the... Because I presume this argument they kind of hear quite often, right?
Yeah. I know some... I know a few cases where they more or less just stop following the top football or switch to another team just out of spite, more or less. But also some people that just eventually he sort of came back and started following them after a while. But I do know that a lot of people said that it was the best thing for Danish football to have some of these clubs. FC Midtjylland is a similar story, also with the two clubs that that where they have this sort of a top merger of the. Of the elite squad, and they're very successful. There are several examples of other of these mergers that collapsed and never worked. But some of the top teams in Danish football now are these, and FC Co and Midtjylland are.
And did it also make the Danish league more competitive on the international scale, kind of?
Yeah,
because he joined
I guess
forces.
So I mean, there were all. It was already sort of a beginning a bit. I would say like as you two were in our game when we played a 7-a-side game against the B1903, and
yeah.
I think in the email when we were before we met, I was saying how that their team actually beat Bayern Munich in two games back in. I think 90s or something.
Yeah, 90.
Yeah.
Two or three or something.
Yeah, something like that. So that was that period, and also Brøndby had a big period. We're already becoming a big thing, and a sort of a decent name European wise before FC Copenhagen.
Yeah, because I remember looking at this a few weeks ago, and I was kind of taken back and surprised because for a relatively small country, Denmark is very high. And so if you look at sort of like the European League coefficients or, you know, the sort of rating of like European leagues, it's quite high. Like, would you, it is the strongest of the Nordic leagues.
It might be. I mean, when I grew up, IFK Göteborg, they were the big team, mm-hmm. Gothenburg. But in recent years, Sweden has been a bit more up and down. But then in Norway, they've had Rosenborg, who were definitely the best team in Scandinavia for many years. Definitely not at the moment, but they were.
No.
So it's. But then again, the Norwegian league, especially in some of the years when Rosenborg were dominating everything, it was very sort of a top heavy league. You could say. I don't know if that makes any sense, but. They were really good, and then the rest, it was like mediocre, and the bottom of the best league in Norway, sort of in the early 90s, was really
good. I think also people, you know, talk about the sort of if they want to talk about sort of competitivity of like leagues, like people often look at France or Germany and they see the issue of, you know, PSG winning the league every year or Bayern, but actually it's quite a universal problem across lots of European leagues, especially in like smaller countries where there is one very strong team, and because they're the team which always gets into Europe or gets into the early stages of Europe, they get the money.
And players gravitate towards that club, right?
Yeah.
Because naturally they want to play the international cup games.
And it can be small things sometimes. I mean, an Icelandic friend of mine told me recently that a team from Reykjavik called Valur, they sold part of their training grounds to the municipality because it's downtown and house prices are really high, and you know, so they sold it, and from that, because they got so much money for it, they are suddenly the richest club in Iceland. And then it's a couple of years ago, and now they are without a doubt, you know, the top club in Iceland. And so sometimes it can be really small things that change it when you're in a small country. And then you can become suddenly the super dominant club, and no one else can really touch.
But I mean, that's some kind of fluctuation, right? The argument would be that suddenly, out of nowhere, this club propped up, right, then became the dominant one.
Well,
in Iceland.
It is a sort of a traditional big club in Reykjavik, but some of the others had been sort of previously been like the bigger clubs, but then Valur sort of overtook them, you know.
I presume Brøndby are the second biggest club in the country.
Yeah, because that's a derby, right?
In terms of support, they are definitely the FC Copenhagen and Brøndby. I don't know about Midtjylland, because you also have teams like AGF and OB who are from bigger towns, and if you are from Aarhus, most people in Aarhus will support.
Aarhus is the second biggest city in Denmark.
And Odense is the third biggest.
Yeah.
And they definitely support.
They don't support Midtjylland then, so in Aarhus?
That would be treason, wouldn't it?
Okay.
I mean, obviously, there would be people there who come from Herning or Ikast, from that area where Midtjylland is. But no, they would be AGF.
And what I'm kind of wondering also is because of sort of FC Co has the reputation as the merger and also the business club, has Brøndby sort of made efforts to try and sort of portray itself as the counterpoint, like if you're sitting with the sort of corporate football at FC Co, and because they play in Park and in the National Stadium, which is a very like nice stadium, do Brøndby sort of, especially their fans as well, try and play on this, right, and it's like demonstrate that they're the more football club.
But Brøndby Stadium's the nicest stadium. No, actually, I think that in many ways. But also, it's a crazy thing. The company that owns the national stadium also is the main owner of FC Köpenhagen or whatever.
Yeah.
And so at least there's a really close connection there. And it's just that one of the biggest club basically benefits from the national team playing in their ground. That's very wrong in my book.
As in that because they make so much money from the national team games, those that money sort of gets
the revenue
pumps into the
that's how I understand it, at least.
Okay.
So.
And I presume FC Co didn't have to pay for the development of the national team stadium, right?
The new version of Parken was built by them, basically.
Okay.
Yeah, as far as I understand it.
Okay, so we've kind
that of... They're all behind
yeah.
it.
Yeah, so we've kind of got like the main Superliga Copenhagen clubs now covered, right? Or is there... Who else should we...
Yeah, well, Brøndby is the big suburban club from the... From Vestegnen, as we call it, sort of west of Copenhagen, right? So that means... all the sort of working class to middle class, Danish middle class suburbs, where people are from, no one's really rich down there,
okay.
except for the footballers. Yeah. Whereas if you go north of Copenhagen, you also have Lyngby and you have Nordsjælland, two other teams. And Lyngby is a more affluent area. It's not as affluent as some of the other areas around, but it is still, quote-unquote nice area. Whereas Farum is also, it's actually the sort of less affluent city around there, but all the most of the municipalities around are quite affluent. So that so Nordsjælland is in Farum is from that area as well. But both those clubs actually have at least in my book a plus, because they usually have very sort of positive football. They've always been very good at playing entertaining football, I think.
Oh, okay.
So I like them for that. And Nordsjælland have been very good at producing young talent. They put young talent in the team quite early on.
Well, I need to keep up with my notes.
But Midtjylland, they have an academy in Nigeria. So there's a link southwards there as well. But I would just say, before we go too far away from Brøndby, that of the teams in the first division or in the Superliga, when pressed, I would support them.
Okay.
You said Brøndby.
Brøndby, yeah.
Okay. Is there like a political component to kind of the competitiveness between Brøndby and FC Köln? Because in Hamburg, I mean, you know about this, right? Because we've got St. Pauli and then we've got the Hamburger Sportverein. And St. Pauli is definitely this kind of leftist club, even like for the whole of the second Bundesliga, where around which like a lot of leftist fan cultures gravitate. And it's really known for this. And then you've got the more socially conservative part, which would be the HSV. Mm. And so the question is, does this translate somehow to the situation in Copenhagen?
Yeah, I wouldn't really say that it does, because it's much more muddled. Because both clubs have had issues with the right wing groups, quite right wing as well.
Both FC Köln and Brøndby.
And Brøndby, yeah. And there was someone who told me just recently that there was a banner, commemorating some guy that died recently. Apparently. Who it just said his name, you know, said his name, something about rest in peace, and it turns out that this guy was some really far right wing guy.
Okay,
I didn't know that, and I'm sure most people at the ground didn't know that.
Yeah,
but apparently he was. So that was seen as sort of that maybe they're coming back and stuff like that. But at both clubs, they have pretty strong groups that are exactly the opposite. And I would say that most people who support either of those clubs are like every other Dane, that they are, you know, from they're basically throughout the political scale.
But do any of these clubs sort of have like the quite sort of like you would see in Germany, like in, especially in recent years, with sort of welcoming to refugee movements and stuff, or like very outwardly demonstrative sort of left wing politics and stuff?
Yeah, you will have groups in both camps that have done that. I've seen these. Refugees welcome signs. I've seen them in connection with both teams. So you could find the outer left wing in both clubs.
But then it's incredibly diverse, right? When it comes
to so it's not really a political thing whether or not you're with one club or the other.
Okay.
And for most people, it's a geography thing, right? That if you grew up in the southern and western suburbs, you support Brøndby, and if you grew up in here, then you support Copenhagen. For many people, it's like that. But if you're in here, you also have some competitors like Fremad Amager, who are what?
Yeah, let's move on from the Superliga, right? We've kind of covered the main ones that we were going to look at in the Superliga. Is there any other ones in the Superliga, interesting clubs that we should?
Well, we briefly mentioned AGF, right? Because they're from Aarhus, but also I would mention OB as well. They're from Odense, the third
OB.
Biggest.
OB, yeah.
OB, OB, yeah. Yeah. And they are, they're a big team, both traditionally and everything. But also, they do have quite a support, and there's a lot of people from Fyn and as well as from Aarhus, from that area that live in Denmark, and they still support it. There are even people who moved here whose children support them because of their parents, right? And they are one of the bigger teams. They have a lot of history, and they tend to have... I think a lot of people have some sort of sympathy for them, except when they play against them, even if they're one of the opposing teams. And then, lastly, Vejle, who got promoted last time, is also one of these clubs that it has a very long tradition in Danish top football, have some of the biggest players that we've had in Danish football have come through that club, and so they are also a team to consider for any, I think, because they have a great history, and they're generally known to be like a sort of a positive football club in many ways.
Is there any of them which are known to be negative clubs?
Copenhagen and Midtjylland. Stay away from them. I'm not fond of Sønderjyske's coach.
Sønderjyske,
they are from Haderslev, in the southern part of Denmark. Haderslev, I think, in German.
Yeah.
And they actually, I'm told, near the border to Schleswig-Holstein. Near Schleswig-Holstein.
Can you say Schleswig-Holstein one more time?
Schleswig-Holstein.
Yeah. So they're technically in North Schleswig.
Can you do an ASMR one?
Schleswig-Holstein.
Oh, that's so good.
I'm actually told that the German-speaking minority in Denmark tend to support Sønderjyske.
Huh.
So if you look at the one German language newspaper from down there, Der Nordschleswiger, that's the team they cover.
But you don't like? Why don't you like the coach?
Because he used to be the Midtjylland coach, and he just—it's something about his attitude, and I'm not a fan.
Okay.
He just comes across as a bit of a twat.
Let's talk about the club, which is literally probably about 100 meters from where we live. So, Fema Amat play in the first division, and from what I read online,
which is the second division.
Yeah, first division, which is the second division. I mean, yeah, Superliga, and then first division. But anyway, so which, from what my extensive, limited research, are known as a working man's club.
Yeah, it's definitely a working class club. Amager, this island where we're on at the moment, where a good part of Copenhagen is on, and also a couple of smaller towns and the airport, is also where the biggest garbage dump used to be. So a lot of people have sort of negative connotations of Amager from going from way back. But it's also always been a big football island. There's quite a few football clubs out here that are quite old and have done quite well over the years. So Kastrup and Tornby out by the near the airport, they both used to be in the... Actually, I think it's only Kastrup who's not in... Tornby are actually in the second division, which is the third tier. Whereas Kastrup's a bit further down, but they have in time.
We'll understand it by the end of this podcast, I promise.
There's also another club that also uses the same ground as Fremad Amager, B1908, and they have also until quite recently been in the third tier.
But wait, which was the one that was part of the merger for FC Köln? That was B
B1903.
Ah.
They're from northern.
Come on, got 5 years difference.
They're from the northern part of Copenhagen.
Yeah. Just for the dates.
There's a lot of these B something clubs.
Okay. Well, what does B stand
ball
for?
Ball club.
Yeah, so ball basically club. The football club, right?
Oh, quiz question for the addicts.
So there's also a B93. They were founded in 1893.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, why would you call it like B93? Because it's not very impressive. It was founded in 1993.
But no, that's
yeah, that's
quite a while ago. It's historic.
Yeah.
That must be the oldest.
The dinosaur, Kobe, is the oldest.
I think that's 1889. Whew. Something like that. But it's pretty old.
3 years after the Arsenal.
Yeah,
possibly, but it is the oldest.
They're nearly as old as Germany. It's quite impressive.
Yeah. I never thought of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's
not quite, but yeah.
That's a B1901, B1921, B1976. There's all over those.
The 76ers.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's not a big club. Nobody follows them.
Purely because they're so young. Okay. Yeah. So, Fremad Amager, what about them in recent years? So they've always been sort of a first division club, or they had some?
Oh, they've been in the top leagues for many years and in different times, and they've been into the lower leagues and they've been up and down. So it depends what time period, but they in the. I guess that would have been the 70s maybe were the best period. I don't know, but even in the, I think it was in the 90s they had a brief stint in the first tier as well. So it's a big club. Everybody who follows Danish football for 10 years or more.
So even though they're in the first division, they still have quite a big fan base.
Yeah, compared to first division clubs, they have a pretty good.
What are we talking about for averages? Because I actually, when I looked at this for sort of average of attendances, because I was quite curious, the attendances is so in the kind of early 2000s, the average in the Superliga was around 8,000, but it's been on quite a decline kind of since then. It's like that sometimes as low as 4.
Yeah.
But what about for like the first
4,000?
Yeah, 4,000. But what about for the first division?
Oh, it's lower than that, but it also depends on the clubs a lot.
What explains the decline?
I don't know. I mean, in some respects, it could have to do with some of the clubs. Like Hobro was in the Superliga for a number of years, and just out of from the fact that it's a smaller town, I guess that's one of the reasons that they maybe have fewer fans, and they had fewer fans when traveling to other clubs.
Yeah.
But I think even the most of the bigger clubs had sort of.
Okay, I kind of can tell that Alex has already made his mind up, because the way he talks about Fremad Amager is just like,
I mean,
different.
They're 100 meters away.
I know. So I gotta ask you now, which team is the nemesis of Fremad Amager?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I think actually, the other Amager clubs. Obviously, and they played the B1908 in the cup recently. I think they had quite good attendance, but and then I think, I mean, if they play FC Copenhagen, they will definitely want to beat them. I remember the last time Fremad Amager was in the first tier, they actually, I think they won both the games against FC Copenhagen, but got relegated. I might be wrong remembering that.
Won the games which mattered.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they definitely won the game here at the Sundby Idrætspark, their home ground, because I remember because I was there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that was pretty.
It's good. An artificial. Has it always been an artificial pitch? Or
no,
it
used to be full grass. Is it artificial now?
Yeah,
I haven't been for ages. It's such a why.
Well, I presume it's just because it's easier to.
Yeah, but we're a great country for grass.
Yeah,
get lots of rain.
It should be possible.
Yeah, it annoys me. It's probably because it's easier and cheaper to maintain,
more cost effective.
Yeah, I guess so. So I don't know. I don't know to which degree how much they pay for the maintenance and how much is on the municipality. No, they probably pay for it. Yeah, I don't know.
I looked on
Alex will find out.
Yeah, I'll find out.
As but, a new fan.
As a new ultra. Well, I looked online and like it says that the rivals are Frem Kousdorp and B1908.
Oh yeah, France.
So it is B1908.
Yeah. So what team so far have sort of taken your eye, Leon? Who was catching your attention?
So I was the way you talked about positive football when you talked about Nordsjælland, Yannick, that really stuck with me. So that was the one club I focused on. But then, I mean, that's the thing, like Framarama, the sound.
Yeah.
Just, it's insane.
It does sound quite
it
cool.
It sounds
Who do you
so
support in
good.
Denmark? Framarama.
Yeah, Framarama.
Framarama, that means forward.
It even, like, it sounds dynamic.
It's forward.
Proactive.
Yeah.
But also, Fram, that also means forward.
Leon, they also play in blue, so it's good for you for Hamburg.
Yeah.
But the only thing is, their nickname is the Angels, which I'm not a huge fan of.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh. Angels.
England?
Huh? Do you think they play
the
song the Robbie one?
Oh.
When they walk in.
I think
come out to angels
contemplate.
I think most people
do they know?
In Amma, when they talk about the club, they will call them Framel.
Framel.
Yeah.
I think so.
Framel.
Yeah, it's good Framel.
Yeah, Framel thing. Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, and then I thought for a second that just for the sake of competition, I should just go for like B1908.
But they're in the third division, right? So they're
no B1908, and now I think they're in Denmark City, so that would be the fourth tier.
Okay, so we're talking like
so that's not going to happen.
I guess.
Do they play like friendly matches against the Framo every now and then?
I think at the lower level, their amateur teams, leisure teams, they will play each other frequontly.
Okay.
But the top teams, then I think it's only if they clash in the cup.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what is the league looking like this season? So did Midtjylland won it last year, and then who's
Midtjylland? Yeah, they won it last year.
So are they favourites to win it again this year, or FC Köln? Because FC Köln have done badly. Also in Europe, they've already been knocked out. So.
Yeah, and they've started really badly, and they just sacked the coach through many years, and big part of their success story, Ståle Solbakken, Norwegian guy. They just sacked him a few days ago, I think. So that's a bit of they're in the lower half of the table and all that stuff, so it's very exciting. But so it's a good question, and Midtjylland have had sort of a half decent start. We are still very early in, but it's actually Brøndby who's leading at the moment.
Okay.
Which is satisfying. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it develops.
So long as it's not FC Köln, then you're happy.
Yeah. Yeah, and Midtjylland.
I have a question. When one of the Danish teams that you don't like is playing in Europe, do you want them to win, or do you just like, no? If they're Latvian, if they're Lithuanian, I want them to win.
Yeah, see, that's the problem, right? Because lately it's usually been Midtjylland and Nordsjælland. Midtjylland and Copenhagen that have these.
Yeah.
Have been there, and then it's a struggle, man, because for instance now that it looks like Brøndby are doing well, I would want them to have the best possible chance in Europe afterwards.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it is fun to see either Midtjylland or FC Copenhagen get knocked out by some nameless country.
Okay, so you would rather root for the team that plays against
the Lithuanian
them.
Farmers.
Yeah, sort of. My heart says that I follow anyone who plays it. Those guys.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe now that we've sort of narrowed it down to, I guess, so who is on our list is Nordsjælland.
Yep.
Framarama.
Yeah.
And maybe, I mean, is it just them two, or maybe a little bit of Brøndby, or are you crossing out Brøndby on your list?
To be honest, I'm not. No. I think we should keep them.
Keep Brøndby.
In the list.
Okay, so we're now level three. So how about if we? So let's say we've kind of narrowed it down to three, and let's come back again next week with a bit more details on those three, and then we can talk about those clubs in a bit more detail so we can get a bit more into their history and then come to our decision. Does that sound like a good plan?
It sounds fantastic. I'll do my research.
Sounds okay. Do you want me to put three cliffhanger sentences on each of those?
Yeah. Let's do one-liner. Ooh, one-liner all three.
That sounds exciting. Yes, yeah. Please.
Nonchalant, very little atmosphere.
No, I thought there were selling points.
Okay. Yes, cliffhangers.
Bun boot, a lot of atmosphere. And Framarama, a lot of heart.
So basically it's out.
I think they have my heart already.
It's out Framarama and Brombu. Like, why would you go for the one that has no atmosphere?
No atmosphere.
It's getting better. It's getting better. It used to be horrible, but it's getting better.
Okay.
But it's, again, kids growing up with it, you know. The kids who were maybe 10 when the whole thing started, they are what, 25-ish or so now in Farum, right? So they sort of grew up with it and they don't see it as the sort of new thing that came in. So it's getting better in Nordsjælland,
okay,
atmosphere wise, but it used to be very dull.
All right, let's save all this good info on these clubs for next week. So
also, can you paint like the guy, the average supporter of Midtjylland, so that next time we can see him, like the way you described him? I'd love to see it on paper. I'd love just, you know, just like sketched him out, you know. We can put it on the cover of the pod.
I'll make the cover art of the podcast.
That'd be just amazing, you know. Just like scribble it. I absolutely love it.
Thank you so much for joining us, Yannick, and thank you so much for all the information that you've given us, all the sort of winding stories. I know we've sort of asked you a lot of sort of tough questions about all of them.
That's fine. I'm happy to do it. Happy to do it. I think you're narrowing it down to three.
Should we maybe put in a wild card? Is there one that we haven't spoken about at all that you think maybe might actually be the one for us?
And it should be sort of close to
Copenhagen.
But what about B1908? It's like fourth division. Which is Danish fifth division.
they play in the 5¾ division.
So I think they're in the fourth tier, which is Danmarksserien. It's like a new name again.
Oh, okay.
Is it just a division with the symbol of pi? Amazing. Thank you so much for joining us, Yannick.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us this week, Leon.
Yeah, thanks for such fun.
And we'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Podcast Network.